sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam, and the words of Afia are the
newly new things in the religion. For all new things are innovations, and all innovations are errors, and all errors are doomed for hell. May Allah save us from that. After this, my respected brothers and sisters in Islam, I greet you with the greeting of Islam, by which all the pious ones start their speech with, which is the greetings of Taslim. I say once again, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The topic for today's lecture is the significance of the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. When we say the significance, we are saying the importance, especially when such thing has an effect on what happens in the future. That is, we are talking about the significance of such a thing, the importance, particularly when that thing has effect on future occurrences. So we want to know the significance, the importance of the birth of the Messenger of Allah, that is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. Many of us would have heard the verse often quoted in the Quran that وَمَا أَرْسَلْ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. You were not sent, that is the Messenger of Allah, Allah addressed him, that he was not sent except as a mercy to the whole world. A poet, a Muslim poet, has collected by Sheikh Adam Abdullah Lilori in his book Fawaki Usakito. He said, Mado Daharu Wale Hayam Wadambu Hasilun Wajaa Rasulullahi Wal Kalbu Ghafilun. That days continue to move to become weeks, weeks becomes months, months become years, to become decades and centuries. Yet, wadambu hasilun, sins continue to increase, it does not decrease. Ignorance continues to increase on the surface of the earth. Wajaa rasulullahi wal qalbu ghafilun. And the Messenger of Allah came at a point in time when mankind was in a state of ignorance. We cannot understand the import of this statement clearly unless we x-ray the state of the world by the time of the advent of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in the 5th century of the Christian era. The state of the world has been clearly exemplified by one of the scholars of Islam of blessed memory, that is Sayyid Abu al-Hassan Ali Nadwi, particularly in two of his books. One, Muhammad Rasulullah, and two, Islam and the World. These books were originally written in Arabic, but translated to English. According to Sayyid Abu Hassan Ali Medwi in Muhammad Rasulullah, the 5th century in which the Prophet of Islam was born was, to be brief, the darkest era of history. It was the most depressing period in which the crestfallen humanity had abandoned all hopes of its revival and renaissance. When they say crestfallen, that means the state of being sad and disappointed because one has failed to do what is expected to do. So the humanity was in a state of disappointment. So according to the same author, in his Pathway to Medina, another book written by the author, he said, the cart of humanity, cart, C-A-R-T, was moving along the downward track in the 6th century of the Christian era. It was growing darker and darker, and the slope was becoming deeper. The cart was gathering momentum. It was rolling down with greater force. The whole family of Adam was seated in the cart. There were in it the fruits of thousands of years of human endeavor, of ancient civilizations and intellectual development. The occupants were either fast asleep or quarreling among themselves for a better place. No one gave a thought to the danger ahead. In his Islam and the World, he said, humanity had reached the edge of the precipice towards which it had been tragically proceeding for centuries, and this appeared to be no agency, and there appeared to be no agency or power in the whole world which could come to its rescue and save it from crashing into the abyss of destruction. Brothers and sisters in Islam, why was the world in such a state? The reasons are not far-fetched. They have been further and clearly exemplified by the same author in his work, Islam and the World. When we look at the world in the 6th century Hijra, let us look at the religion of the world, the state of the religions of the world as at that time. We look at Christianity. He said by the 4th century Christian era, Christianity had become a curious mixture of Greek mythology, Roman idolatry, Egyptian Neoplatonism, and monasticism, in which the pure and simple teachings of Christ had been lost like a drop of sweet water in the ocean. It has been reduced to a hopeless mess of meaningless doctrines and empty rituals which could neither elevate the spirit, nor illuminate the intellect, nor move the emotions. Christianity, rather than open the path to progress, had become a stumbling block in the path of human progress. Those of us who are students of history of science, we know that many scientists were killed on the order of the Pope as a result of the fact that their discovery is in contrast to the teaching of the church. You know, people like Copernicus, even Galileo Galilei, okay, for teaching that the world or the earth is spherical, they were killed, they were tortured, because it ran contrary to the doctrine of the church. Therefore, Christianity stood on the path of human progress, not only scientifically, but all intellectual endeavors. Christianity came, as at that time, it was a stumbling block. If you look at Judaism, according to the author, in Muhammad Rasulullah, he said, Judaism by then, that is the 5th century Christian era, had been reduced to an amalgam of dead rituals and sacraments without any spark of life left in it. Also being a religion upholding racial slavery, it has never had any message for other nations or the good of humanity at large, which is true. If you go to the net, you are, if you go to chat room now, if you go to religion, go to Judaism, just try and ask one Jew there, how can I become somebody who will practice Judaism? He is going to be in problem, because once you are not a Jew, you cannot practice that religion. Of course, such a religion cannot be for the whole world. So they have no, they don't have solutions to the problem of the world. The Jews had, under the influence of their powerful neighbors and conquerors, adopted numerous idolatrous beliefs and practices. They were notorious all over the world for excessive pride of blood and greed. Meek and submissive in distress, they were tyrannical and mean when they had upper hand. Hypocrisy, duty, treachery, selfishness, cruelty, and unseriousness have become the normal trait of their nature. The mutual jealousy and hatred between the Christians and the Jews, which did not permit them to forego any opportunity of settling an old score, was brought to its climax towards the close of the 6th century. In 610 Christian era, the Jews of Antioch rebelled against the Christians, and Emperor Focas sent his famous general, Bonosus, to put down the uprising, who set about his business with such enthusiasm that the whole of the Jewish population was wiped out. Thousands of Jews perished by the sword, while hundreds of them were drowned or burnt alive or thrown to the wild beast. The Jews wreaked their revenge in 615 Christian era by instigating Cotra, that is one of the kings of the Roman, to order a general massacre of Syrian Christians when he overran that country. Then in 630 Christian era again, Heraclius read such savage with vengeance upon the Jews that in the Roman Empire, those alone could save themselves who to take his life or go into hiding. What was the man trying to say? He was saying that the two religions that laid claim to monotheism were at loggerheads. Rather than solving the problem of the world, or salvaging mankind from impending peril, they were fighting each other and trying to annihilate one another. That was the other obligation. The cause of this is that the message of their religion has been forgotten centuries ago, and they have adopted the practices, I mean the religious practices of their neighbors and conquerors over the years. Then Buddhism is also one of the world religions then. Buddhism has become swallowed up by Brahmanism and adopting its gods and deities. Buddhism had a long while ago lost its individuality and simplicity of its creed, as taught by Gautama Buddha, its founder. In short, Buddhism had got converted into an idolatrous faith. Wherever the Buddhists went, they took the images of Buddha with them and installed them there. You can remember the Taliban regime in Afghanistan. One of their problems with the world, when I say world, Western world, was that they blew up one of the images of Buddha in Afghanistan that has been placed there centuries. Okay? In fact, some Muslims, so-called scholars, were even justifying the claim of the West that they shouldn't have blown it up. Some of them were saying some companions passed Afghanistan and they saw these statues and they did not destroy them. Why are they now destroying those statues? When the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to Ali, raised a sword and a banner that he's going to take it from him. And Ali said he took it, and he told him that it should not be any image except that he destroyed the image, and no reason except that he never see. That is the command of the messenger of Allah. So Ali, during his lifetime, then some scholars are saying some companions have passed through that place the lesson. Those companions that were passing through the place, were they passing as rulers, as leaders then? Or were they passing like just people who are trying to speak Islam but not in power? Do they have the state power to do it? The instrument of the state. Now, hence, the entire religious and cultural life of Buddhists is overshadowed by idolatry. Such being the position, the Buddhists in India, China, and other countries of Southeast Asia could scarcely be looked upon to play a significant role in the moral and spiritual rehabilitation of man, or the promotion of peace and stability in the world. Then, let us look at the life of some of the empires that were in existence then, during the 6th century Christian era, when the Messenger of Allah was born. We start with Iran. Iran has fallen into the abyss of immorality. According to Ali Nabi, the famous Chinese traveler in Sun, has stated that no relationship were excluded from the conjugality in the Iranian law and society. It is stated that Yazdijad II, who ruled during the middle of the 6th century Christian era, married his own daughter and afterwards killed her, in order to prove that they did not forbid any kind of relationship. This is your own blood sister, you can marry her, there's no problem. The emergence of Mazdakite movement in Iran is another point in history to show the state of the world then in the Iranian Empire, the Persian Empire. Mazdak advanced the view that since all human beings were descended from the same common parents, they have equal rights in the women and wealth of one another. This EF will put an end to all feuds and quarrels, which generally arose on account of these two factors. He believed that wars and chaos were a result of people vying for women and wealth. Therefore, if wealth and women can be placed at the disposal of everybody on equal basis, then there is no problem in the world. So powerful was the movement that everyone could walk into everyone else's house and take possession of his wife and property. Things quickly came to such a pass that neither parents could recognize their children, nor children their parents. No one had any right, even over one's own property. No, it encourages lazy people to take over. People who are lazy quickly embrace the idea of Mazdak. And wherever they see people at work, they just go there and seize the property and say the property belongs to us. If you see the wife of somebody else, you can just walk in and have anything you want to have with her, since the women must be shared equally by us. And you know what is going to happen in such a society. In fact, some historians said that there was a time at that point in history that they find no person to bury the dead. They were left for the culture to eat, because nobody wants to work. And those people who took over others' property were not able to maintain them because they were lazy before. The religious life of the Iranians was the fire worship, which can neither educate nor inform. It can neither redeem the sinner nor instruct its devotees in life problems. The irony is that the worshipper is the one that is putting the fuel in there, just like the Oshun-Oshubo worshipper in Oshubo here in Yoruba land, Oshubo in Oshun State.
during the time of Ojoojobori, we have one, what do you call it, a kind of lamb having about 15 weeks. As we call it, many people, 15 weeks lamb. So they sell this lamb throughout the time they are worshipping their god Oshun. The lamb must not be extinguished. So they will continue to stay with the lamb. So it is the relic of the fire worship in the Persian Empire that we are just looking at in Oshun there. Unfortunately, in the name of culture and policy, our government have embraced it. And people from Ojogo particularly, under the garb of art, fact, culture, have become polytheists, little by little. Even the Muslims among them, because they are now making money through it. You can see that when we talk of culture now, we are talking about places like Ojogo here. We say it's culture. We are at it, idolatry. So the Muslims should be very careful and the way of such a thing so that you don't fall into polytheism under the garb of culture or tourism. The political and economic life of the Iranians. The rule was absolute monarchy, which nobody can rule without the divine law in his veins. Such is being the party in Yoruba land. If at the demise of a king, they want to select another king. One thing is that once you don't belong to the royal family, you can never become the king. Then the royal family presents a buffoon or what can we emphasize that this is our king. Everybody will accept it. Because if you say you don't accept it, they will ask you, are you from the royal family? Because you are not having the royal blood in you, you are not fit to rule. So you must accept whosoever they have put there. So it's part of idolatry. Okay? Part of the practice. You know, the Iranians, they even bow down and worship their king. Even Yoruba land, because the Oba allowed him to keep the Orisha. The Orisha is the god, and they said the Oba is the commander, and also the second in command to the Orisha, who is the god. And that is why we prostrate for them. If you don't prostrate for them, it is a sign of disregard to the gods, because they are the representative of God on earth. So some people used to think that we are only trying to, what do you call it, we are only trying to revere them. People are revering people, it's Aaron. Okay? So much so that this culture has gone deep into, has eaten deep into the fabric of the society. That many Muslims also support it, that there's nothing wrong with it, it's not worship. To prostrate is not worship. We are at the basis of peace is from polytheism. Because you have to bow down for the gods. And the kings are the representatives of the gods. So, and in each family, the king is going to have somebody who is representing India as Madhaj or Bali. He's going to have sheep, then like that. And that is the linkage. So, the kings of Iran were accepted by their people to have divine blood running in their veins. Divine blood, just like the Christians believe that Jesus is man God. The emperor of Iran believed in amassing as much wealth for themselves as they could. When the treasure of Khosrow II was shifted to a new building in Mandarin in 607 to 608 AD, it included 458 million miskals of gold, worth about 375 million gold pounds. By the 13th year of its reign, the accumulation of gold had reached 800 million miskals. The crown of the king was made up of about 120 pounds of solid gold, which is about 91 kilograms. That is the crown on his head. Can anybody put some weight on the head? It's not weighing that. As a result of that, there is a gold chain, thin chain, that was attached to this canned and suspended. It was missing in order for somebody's power not to be able to perceive it. You won't see it. Do you understand? So you think the king is putting on the gold here on his head. You can remember where this Abu Ubaid Abu Jarrah went to these people. He did not bow down for the king. But there are a lot of people who don't want to bow, so they made a barrier. Before you get to the king, you have to pass under the barrier, forcing you to bow. So what he did was that he now turned his back. So, and he was passing the letter to the king through his buttocks, so that he doesn't want to force him down. This is his nowadays, I don't know what you are going to call for this person. But he was establishing the aqidah of Islam that he should not prostrate or bow down for any other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 2 days later, the society was divided into caste and class. You come to India, you see the way their own caste system is even worse. A Parsi historian writes about Khosrow Khan of Iran that he possessed 12,000 women, 50,000 thoroughbred horses, and countless palaces, huge amounts of cash and heaps of precious stones and other valuable articles, which is happening to us today too, our leaders. When Emperor Yazdijan of Iran asked to flee his capital after the fall of Madain, he took with him a standing retinue of 1,000 cooks, 1,000 musicians, 1,000 attendants of panthers and falconers, 1,000 falconers. What do they mean by that? You know, these people used to watch wild animals, just like our falconers of today. So those people used to chase these wild animals and make sure of them for the king to enjoy. He took about 1,000 of them. Those that used to train birds, wild birds, took about 1,000 of them along. And even this was not considered as adequate by him. It still happens today. Whenever we want to welcome our leader, which we call red carpet welcome, you see a lot of display for this leader and a lot of wealth will be wasted just because one of our leaders is coming. If the governor is coming now, you see the number of fuel that is wasted because of one governor. Cars that have no occupants other than the driver shall be there. Fleet of cars. And people without, commissioners without portfolios, advisors without office, and many of them will come in the entourage of the governor. What are they doing? They are coming to commission a borehole project in the village. The amount of money they will spend on this enterprise is more than what they have used to make the borehole in the borehole. So it's part of Khufu, relics of Khufu of those empires that we have seen there relatively. In Rome, what has been said of Iranians is also applicable to the Romans. They collected expensive tax from their subjects, that is their colonies, such that some sell their children to be able to pay, while sometimes they sold, that is the Romans, they sold the tenants as slaves for non-payment of dues. In short, countries under the Roman or Iranian domination were in a pathetic state. They were the land. You understand, they were in slavery because they continued to pay heavy taxes to the Roman Empire or to the Iranian Empire. And if you cannot pay, you are going to be sold into slavery. So some people have to sell even their wives in order to pay these taxes. In India, during the 6th century Christian era, as many as 33 million gods were recorded by historians to be worshipped by the Hindus. In fact, some historians recorded that 5% of men, of women, were being worshipped. These people were called as having parts. In their worship places, they will draw the 5% of woman, the vagina, on the walls. And a woman will be there naked, opening apply this fast. When you come, you go and prostrate for this service fast. You understand? Do you know the reason? He said that is your God, because you came from that place. Definitely it must be your God. It's the one that is there. So can you do? So those of us who are finance students will know that in history there was a time that images of man organ and all these things were being made all over the empire. That was the state of art then. Okay? Sexual perversity and moral decadence set up in. The social system of the Indians is the caste system. The Indians divided their society into four. The Brahmins, or the landed and priestly class, the Kshatriyas, or the fighting and ruling class, the Vaisyas, or the trading and agricultural people, the Sudras, or the lowest caste people, whose only business in life was to serve their emperor. So they reduced themselves to the Tamites. You know, the Tamites, they have the vision of labor. Once you are a king, you are a king. Once you are a soldier, you are a soldier. You are either a man being soldier or not a soldier. Once you are a worker, you are a worker. You understand? So, or they made themselves into all the bees and things, turning themselves to animals. According to Manu Shastra, you know Manu came around 300 BC, you know, the Lord created Brahma from his mouth, Kshatriya from his hands, Vaisya from his thighs, and Sudra from his feet, so that the world may prosper. Whatever is on the earth belongs to the Brahma, for he is the highest among all the creatures. All things are for him. A Brahma can acquire by force, if necessary, the property of a Sudra slave. It will not be at all unlawful, because a slave can never own anything. In lieu of sentence of death, the head of the Brahma shall be shaved, while persons of other caste shall be executed. The person in the lowest caste, which is a Sudra, should never acquire property, even if he has the opportunity for doing so, because doing so causes pain to the first of the caste, which is the Brahma. Should a Sudra try to sit at the same place with his wife born, the king should get his Sudras branded with red hot iron. This is their own sharia, and banish him from the land. If a Sudra touches a Brahma or a beaten thing, his tongue shall be pulled out from the root. If he claims he can eat a Brahma, boiling oil shall be poured down his throat. What happened is that, like I'm delivering a lecture now, maybe because of question and answer, you need to talk to your hands. What you have said, this is not that. It's okay. You say that. The fantasy is that boiling oil shall be poured down that truth. That is their rule. The atonement for killing a dog, a cat, a frog, a lizard, a cow, an owl, and a sudra is the same. So what? If you kill a lizard, what will happen to you? Nothing. So if you can kill him, no problem. That is India. And India, you know, the Indians live in India. And they have the Hindi, they are Hindi, and their religion is Hinduism. So if you are in Nigeria trying to practice Hinduism, you won't be a fool. Because the Hindus live in India, practicing Hinduism, and if a Hindu is dead, then what can you lay claim to here? Just like in Nigeria, we bring the Catholic, and every school that is established here, you write RCM school, Roman Catholic Mission School, as if we are in Rome. So how can you be a Catholic when you are in Nigeria? Are you a Roman? Roman Catholic Mission. Maybe the father will be able to explain that in future. But I know as far as today, he's not able to explain it. So maybe there is going to be a kind of Renaissance, or there is going to be a kind of Protestantism within the Catholic Church. So people will change it to Nigerian Catholic Mission. So, and they will break away. They have their own pope, who's going to be a black man. Anyway, I do not have much time to go deeper into the state of the world. But as humanity lay gasping in the agonies of death, Allah is Muhammad to resuscitate it and deliver it from darkness into light. The messenger of Allah broke the cycle of ignorance and superstition and invited men to sacrifice that relieved them from every other form of bondage. He restored to them the legitimate comfort of life from which they had deprived themselves under the false ethical and spiritual notions. His advent gave to humanity a new life, a new field, a new world, a new society, and a new culture. It ushered in a new era in human history, making the commencement of the reignition of man upon the earth. The birth of the messenger of Allah signifies the closeness of the end of the world. I'm coming to that. So what am I trying to say? I'm saying the messenger of Allah came at a point in time when the whole world was in darkness and ignorance and they are to be doomed. And his advent rescued them from that abyss. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran chapter 14, verse 1, Surah Ibrahim, كِتَابٌ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. That is a book that Allah has revealed to you, Muhammad, in order to remove mankind from darkness to the light of Allah with the permission of your Lord into a straight way, the way of exalted in power and the one that is worthy of all praise. Allah also said in Surah Al-A'raf, Quran chapter 7, verse 157, أَوْلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانُ الرَّجِيمُ يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنَهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثَ وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِصْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Oh, I wish you understand that Arabic. You don't like me to translate. He says, he commands them what is just and forbids them what is evil. That is the message of Allah. He allows them as lawful what is good and pure, and prohibits for them what is bad and impure. He releases them from their heavy body and from the yokes that are upon them. All these yokes that are mentioned previously, the messenger of Allah came to release it from them. And that is why Allah said, in that verse that was read in the second raka of Maghrib, لَكَلِ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَءُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. The messenger has been raised from among yourself. The messenger of Allah is not comfortable that evil befalls you. Every time the messenger of Allah is always looking for what is going to be, what is going to make your life easy, what is going to make you gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what he concerns himself with. Hence, the word passed from ignorance to Islam with an alacrity that is without a parallel in history. According to Muhammad Abbas, in Islam and Western civilization, it took the Roman Empire nearly 1,000 years to grow to its full geographical extent and its political maturity, while the Islamic Empire stand up and reached its full might within the short period of about 80 years. That is why that adjective that Islam passed, that is, the world passed from ignorance to Islam with an alacrity that is without a parallel in history. For an empire to grow to its full splendor within 80 years, such that the founder of that empire even witnessed the expansion and the glory of that empire, then you must know that this is God's ordained. So, that one confirms for us the statement of that poet, that the world was in a state of ignorance, but the advent of the messenger of Allah rescued the world from that ignorance. And what Allah said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Many people do not understand that if we do not do this exemplification. I mean, let's say the state of the world in the 6th century Christian era. Why was the messenger of Allah a message to the whole world? Just because he was the one that came to rescue the world from the abyss, from hell. The second significance, and I'm just mentioning two, of the part of the messenger of Allah is that it signifies the closeness of the end of the world. It signifies that the end, the world shall soon come to the end. For many of us, we are going to be reading now that this is 1429, 1429 years after the messenger of Allah performed the hijrah from Mecca to Medina. What are you telling us? The world, the coming of the messenger signifies the end of the world. And it's now more than 1,000 years that we have come, and the world has not come to the end. What do you mean? Allah said, when Allah said of the Surah Al-Qamar, Quran chapter 54, verse 1, Allah said, of the Lord, the Son of the Lord, 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 the hour has drawn near, and the moon has been cleft asunder. During the time of the messenger of Allah, people ask for a miracle. The miracle they ask from the messenger of Allah is that the moon should be split into two, and the messenger of Allah asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to split the moon into two. And the Quraysh, the police in Mecca, were looking at two different moons. Yet they did not believe him. They said he had used magic to cover their sight. You know what they did? They now sent everything to villages and towns around Mecca and far beyond, and asking them how many moons did they observe yesterday. And it was confirmed to them that they were also surprised that they were observing two moons. I think when Neil Armstrong and Co. got to the moon, they were able to see the crack in the moon. They saw that there is a crack there, the light, the crack is there. That was one of the reasons Neil Armstrong accepted Islam. And when he got to Egypt, where they were making a van, he was asking them what they were doing. They said they were doing that. That is what he had in the moon. And he became Muslim. You know, in the Western world, he said he was mad. And did not allow him to see the light of the day if he died. Just like that woman who became a Muslim, the first female pilot in Nigeria, when she died. She was killed by one of the guards in her house. You don't know what led to that, but she died. So really, something like that, you know, the woman, the first female pilot. So such is the kuffar. But how can we explain this 1,000 years the world has not come to end? How close is that? The explanation is simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Quran chapter 22, verse 47, Surah Al-Hajj, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ويستعجلونك بالعذاب ولن يقلب الله وعده وإن يوما عند ربك كألف سنة مما تعدون. And they asked you to hasten all the torment. They were asking the messenger of Allah, if Allah is going to punish us, they are going to hellfire, then let the punishment come. Allah said they are asking you to hasten all the torment. And Allah says not the torment. And verily, a day with your Lord is a 1,000 years of what you reckon. Which means the time of the messenger of Allah to today is not up to 2 days in the sight of Allah. Allah said, your counting of 1,000 years is equal to 1 day in his own sight. So when Allah said the time of the end of the world is near, the only time of the messenger of Allah, it's true because it's not up to 2 days. Till now, when Allah said that, it's not up to 2 days now in his sight. If you are the one, can you say something is close by? 2 days is too much to you. 48 hours. No. That is the explanation. That is what Allah said in Surah Al-Ma'arij. إِنَّهُ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَوْهُ قَرِيبًا. They were looking at that day as if it is far off. We are asked to look at it as well. As close by. If you have a cock in your house, you have your egg. The egg will hatch in your presence. And when the egg hatches in your presence, the cock will grow. The cock will so grow that it's going to become the head and sheep there. the overlord of the whole area. Whereas you'll be looking at the cock, that this cock has grown. One day you just use the cock. But the other eggs and chickens will be looking at the cock as their old father. You'll be telling them stories of their great grandfather. But to use the cock as man, let me hear that the cock's friend. I think that one can really explain that. So, the coming of the messenger of Allah is by the end of the world, and no messenger of Allah, no messenger shall come again after him. So, these are the two things I want to mention quickly, that the messenger of Allah came, one, the messenger of Allah came as a message to the whole world. He rescued the world from the impending peril, the abyss, saved the world, and raised a new breed of man, that, of men, that changed the history of the world. He brought new ideas into the world, that changed man from barbarity, from animalistic tendencies, back to human nature. The nature upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created man, which is fitrat Allah, allati fatara an-nasa 'alayha, allati fatara an-nasa 'alayha. لا تبديل لخلق الله ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. القرآن كتبات من فاتح كتبات. The second one is that it implies the end of the world. Therefore, you should hearken unto the call of Allah and amend and change your way. But today, there is a problem among the Muslim women. We have left the substance and we are now holding on to the shaft, okay? The substance has been left alone. Because of the significance of the coming of the messengers of Allah, of the messenger of Allah, many eulogies have been poured on the messenger of Allah. Praises have been sung on the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many books, many poems were written to eulogize the messenger of Allah because of the time he came, and because he was in his message to the mankind. But the real import of his message, what he came to propagate, what he wants mankind to do, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him for, people left him. Rather, they were not celebrating the patronage of the message of Allah. Just like Christian left the message of Isa and Maryam, he started celebrating his personality so much so that he now equates the personality of Isa to Godhead. And that is why the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, La tatruni kama atarati nasara Isa ibn Maryam. Do not eulogize me or praise me just like the Christians have done for Isa, that is Jesus. Inni Abdullah wa Rasulullah. Surely I am only the slave of Allah and his messenger. The Christian started eulogizing, praising Jesus. You are the best of us. He is the best of us. He is the best of us. He is the leader of the best of us. He is the best of us. I mean the best of us. He is the chief of that. All we do now do is God. That is the only end of it. And it became a theological debate between the Christians in Egypt, in Syria, and the Sikh party, the personality of Jesus. Some of them were saying it's part of God's head. Some of them were saying it's not part of God's head. Some of them were saying it's even God incarnate. Some were saying it's reincarnate. Some were saying God himself, and many other things, and it went to theological debate. And that is what is happening even among the Muslims today. I was reading a book. That book has been sent to me long, long ago. Okay, I heard of this lecture, and I remember it was, I didn't read it then. I didn't read much. I met him at the Kubra. Allah, Allah, the Allah. Sayyidi Walad Adam. Imam Al-Alam, Shahabuddin Ahmad bin Haydar al-Khan al-Shafi. When I was reading this book, when I was having a this lecture, I was just taking my what I get measure. Let me read some of it. Is that called Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu? Man anfaqa dirhaman ala qira'ati mawlidi nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana rafiqi fil jannah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, he who spent one dirham on the recitation of Mori Dimaji. That's what is speaking here. That's Dimaji. He's going to be my companion in paradise. وقال عمر رضي الله عنه من أظلم موليدا نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أحيا الإسلام. He who refers the Mawlid of Nabi, such person as enlightened Islam. وقال عثمان رضي الله عنه من أنفق درهما على قراءة موليد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فتعلم شهد غزوة فاتر وحرمين. إذا he who spent one درهم, let the one cover, on the recitation of Mawlid, such a person is as if he witnessed the battle of Badr and Hunayn. وقال علي رضي الله عنه وكرم الله وجهه من عظم مولد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وكان سببا لشرعته لا يخرج من الدنيا الا بالايمان ويدخل الجنه بغير حساب. نفهم؟ إذا علي رضي الله عنه said he who refers Mawlid the Mawlid Nabi and is one of the cause for his reviver is not going to leave his world except with iman and is going to enter al-jannah without recording. Hassan Basri said, according to them, وَإِذْتُ لَوْ كَانَ لِيْمِسْتُ جَبَلِ أُحْرِ دَعْبًا فَأَنْفَقْتُهُ عَلَى كِرَعَةِ مَوْلِدِ مَوْلِدِ. In fact, I love that even if I have gold as big as the man of Uhud, I spend everything in the path of living the world with Nabi. Maybe those who are in the Gandhi Prophet start spinning them. Junaid al-Baghdadi, Qadros Allah's Firahu, من حضر مولد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعظم قدره فقد فاز بالإيمان. وقال معروف التاريخي قد أتى الله في رؤوس من هيا طعاما لأجل قراءة مولد إيه بداف فوت because of مولد النبي وجمع إخوانا and gather brothers وأوقف استراجا and put on life ولقف جديدا and put on a very good clothes because of that وتبخر وتعكر and put on perfume تعظيما لمولد النبي رفعا celebration of مولد النبي حشر الله يوم القيامة مع الفرقة الأولى من الأنبياء نحن النبيين Allah is going to raise him among the first class of the prophets on the day of judgment وكان في أعلى النبيين you know that in the end that Allah سبحانه وتعالى the name of the fire sergeant is going to be among the first class. But there are many here. In fact, he said, "Wa in Korea." He said again. They said, "Imam Razi said, 'Man qara Mawlid an-Nabi ala milhi aw burin aw shay akhar, he will read Mawlid on a salt or corn or something else, min al-ma'kulat from edibles." إلا ظهرت في البركة في كل شيء except that God is going to put بركة in whatever he wants وصل إليه من ذلك المعقول that is anything that food touches is going to bring بركة to it فإنه يطلب ولا يستقر حتى يسبر الله للأكيد so وإن كل مولد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على ماء it is red or water فمن شرب من ذلك الماء who drinks on water that على طلباء الألف نور ورحمة 1000 light he enters that and رحمة وخرج منه ألف ظل وعيدة and أزلت looking hatred 1000 of it be removed from his heart ولا يموت ذلك القوم يوم يموت الكلوس that heart will not die on the day all hearts will die ومن قرأ مولد النبي على دراهم مسكوكة فضة كانت أو ذهبا he who read the مولد النبي on silver coin or gold coin وخلص تلك دراهم هي أن نفوتي في مولد مولد وقعت في البركة that البركة will enter the other money ولا يفكر صحيحة the person will not become one thing again ولا تفكر يجوم البركة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم and he's not going to become penniless as a result of the character of Muhammad. In fact, it continues, he was saying a lot of things that people, the messenger of Allah never attributed to doing great things. If you read the Quran, the government did not say you are going to enter paradise without records and many other things. In fact, if a lot of people there, they were saying if you are reciting the Holy Name, you must stand up. There are some of them saying it's compulsory. During Holy Name, you must stand up. Some of them said it's mustahab. The meaning of mustahab, you know the meaning of mustahab in Hebrew speaking. If you say, you know, as follows. إما أمر أو نهي والأمر إما أن يكون يعني واجبا أو مستحبا. When something is a command, is either going to connote compulsion or is going to connote meritoriousness. That means meritorious. That means if you do it, you will be rewarded. If you don't do it, you are not going to be a sinner. Or it's going to connote compulsion. If you don't do it, you are a sinner. If you do it, you shall be rewarded. Okay? That means al-wajib. Ma amara bihi shari ala wajib ilzam. Wal mustahab ma amara bihi shari ala wajib ilzam. But both is amr, is command. So if you are saying that it is mustahab, it's not compulsion, then it must have become an amr, a command. From who? From Allah or His Messenger. Is there a difference? How do you think I'm reading? Don't think they are authentic. Did I put any change here? They don't have any change of narration. These are hadith we call mu'alla in kind of hadith. Hadith without change. Okay? La asla la without change. So we cannot change the authenticity. So it's like common saying that Odidua has Okanbi. Yeah, Okanbi has all these things you can't change. Okay? Legend or things that you cannot authenticate. And anything you cannot authenticate, you cannot use it in the Sharia of Islam. And you must have had more of it. What am I reading is that you may attend one only in your video or attend some other programs. We have such things that we read to you. But because either you have been overwhelmed or overshadowed by the greatness or the way the special reading has been bad, or because you don't have the knowledge of hadith, you do not know that such things they are written to you are not also. They are greatness. Understand? Even Hadith Maudud, you know Hadith Maudud, a formulated hadith, fabricated hadith, is more authentic than what I'm reading. Because Hadith Maudud has changed. What is happening to a fabricated hadith is that a liar is found in the chain. Yani, he starts to make it, yani, he's an ability, cardinal, yani, a liar. If it is very shadid, very weak, then he must have a cardinal. Somebody that has been accused of lying is there. But in this case, you don't even find anybody. Therefore, a fabricated hadith is more authentic than all the business that just read. That's just it. But the problem is lack of knowledge. So when you thought that you have had it just ordinary, you want to go back. I was speaking during Ramadan to one of the Malam, local Malam in my area. I was listening to his speech over the air, not on the radio anyway. He was trying to narrate the history of Al-Wasai, that book of Elogy of the Messenger of Allah by Pastor Ali, that the man was deaf, drunk, blind. And lame. So he now went to the cupboard, the grave of the Messenger of Allah. And he said, he wants to call on the Messenger of Allah to help him and heal him. So he did not bring anybody. He said, then he was asked, what are you going to do here? I said, you'll be healing the Messenger of Allah. What are you going to do? He said, you'll heal the Messenger of Allah. So and he was saying, yeah, you're judging the prophet. I don't know how somebody will jump. You know, people listening will not be able to listen. So then, when you know, just for maybe for 7 days, the Messenger of Allah now came out to you and said, what is your problem? And now, told you his problem. So the Messenger of Allah now meets him. And so he compiled all these things. You must have had more than that. All these things are things. They are ones that came from Arabian Nights. You know, this from Arabian Nights is written in Arabic, translated into English. Many of our scholars, many of our fathers believe things from Arabian Nights. he will now be paying you interest fee as if it is true. Once the falcon was going and next the some of them will think before the fish was living on the land. So they don't know that just like the story of tortoise in the ballad. But this thing does not call for mockery or laughing. What I'm trying to say is that we should free ourselves from shackles of ignorance. Okay? If you allow yourself to be subjugated mentally and to be enslaved intellectually, you will fall into this problem, even if you are analytical. Okay? Shake is like you tell me how to book. And Ogulia, slavery, translated as slavery. It's very many people who are enslaved. Even when they have the knowledge, they don't be able to use it. There is an acquaintance of mine, Sanapa. When I was discussing this thing with him, he was saying that when he wanted to machine, so he asked him to do something. So later they were asking the question, who are you? He mentioned his own personality. What is the person in school and he helped to continue? You have not reached the stage of your faith. You think you are going. So, you can now very remember that they will continue to be perpetually and now, when they now ask you, they want to be. Now, to tell you, so they look with Allah. What is it? They brought a sheep with Allah. What is it? You don't know if you in philosophy have a name for that thing. Is it a pantheism or incredulism or what you call it? Pantheism. That is, and in our things, they are now maybe we had them or whatever. So, what I'm trying to say in essence is that people have started concentrating on celebrating the personality of the messenger of Allah. But the message he has brought, or the message brought by the messenger of Allah, is just like somebody who has been, who the police custody, this inside the cell, and the rest you are dying inside the cell. Later they now say, they come out, then they say you can go. But you said I'm going to die inside the cell. Yes, if not for this letter. If not for this letter, you would have died inside the cell. And they read the letter, they read the letter, started for speaking for the letter. Thank you, letter. Thank you, letter. Oh, I thank you, letter. You are my savior. You know it's a madman. What should he have done in the first place? He should have asked for who wrote the letter. Let that woman have written it first. Then he should have gone to the writer and thanked him for sending that letter that saved him. People today, that is what happened to the Christians. God said, Isa, full of Maria, Allah sent him. He started worshiping Isa instead of Allah. It is happening to the Muslims today. Messenger of Allah was sent. That is why I call him Rasul. Rasul, look at the name. Rasul, a messenger. Therefore, a messenger must have been sent by somebody. So the one who sent him should be referred, but the message he brought should be followed. But today, people believe that you hate the messenger of Allah if you do not join him in celebrating his personality. You understand what I mean by that? They believe that you do love him. Whereas what the messenger of Allah said, or Allah even said in the Quran, if you love Allah, follow me. He didn't say celebrate me. You follow, you should be kum Allah. Allah will love you. Follow him. What he said, do, you should do, you do. What he said, you should do, you should do. Allah is the celebration of that. That is what the message of Allah should be in our life. Not the personality. Some people today, even if they don't understand so that, they just say, Muhammad is God. Just as a Christian who believes that the blood of Jesus has covered everything. Whatever he commits, let it be the name of Jesus Christ. Many people are like that today. They said, and the source of this is three. One, ignorance. Two, it's still ignorance, but as a result of fabricated or a habit that are not authentic. I give an example. When Adam, alayhi salam, sinned, that means he went against the commandments of Allah. Allah he now appointed an alarm for this. You see that there is an alarm. The last 5 years, I still had one in mind relating that hadith. That Adam saw written on the ash, on the throne of Allah, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And he now begged Allah by the jihad, that is the honor of this Rasul. And as a result of that, Allah forgives him. What Allah did not in the Quran? What did Adam say? فَتَلَّقَ آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. So the sentence is the kalima. But the Quran has said, what is it? رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُنَّنَا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. This was actually the hadith is written to say. And you mentioned that this hadith is not authentic. But if you don't have the knowledge of science of hadith, you're not able to know that. What is your capacity to say is that this hadith is not authentic. I like the Shibuzon Yafa. Somebody was reading an hadith. And he said, yeah, this is Mulitan. Oh! I'm giving my mind. I'm not giving the Mulitan. You know, from the meaning is Mulitan. We are not the meaning in the science of hadith. Mulitan hadith, the only thing is weak. That is, an hadith, there is a missing link in the chain. It does not connect to the companion. You understand? Somebody is not a companion saying the messenger of Allah has said. That's just the meaning of Mulitan. You understand, but the man said, our hadith are heavy, mentally. You understand what I'm saying? So, such are the things that causes the body. There are a lot of things that one would have said ordinarily, but I think it's just a brief lecture. So, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the significance of the coming of the messenger of Allah, as far as I've treated in this lecture, is two. One, it came as a He came as a message to mankind, and I will explain that. Two, his coming is indicating the end of the world, so that everybody should prepare for the end of the world. Number three, the message brought by the messenger of Allah should be adhered to, rather than celebrating or eulogizing the personality of the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You understand what I'm trying to do? And this should be our focus. There is no time for much discussion. But maybe during question and answer, we have one or two things to say which I can say. We are like that. I could have called a hand of a person on the wrong thing. Thank you.
The first one is about the prayer. The first one says to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that وَأَنْدَوَنَا نَعْوَا وَبَشَّرَ جَنَّتَا وعلمنا الإسلام فوالله نحمد. Says, and our now, the prophet came, and our now, he warned us of the end. He warned us seriously of the end. Allah says, فليحذر الذين يخالفون عن امره ان تصيبهم فتنه أو يأتيهم عذاب أليم. نفس الله. Those of you who believe, those of you who go contrary to the command of the Prophet of Allah, Allah says, فَلْيَحْدَى, you better be warned. فَلْيَحْدَى, you better take caution. And to see the fitness, let Allah's wrath not fall on you. أو يأتيهم عذاب أليم. Or Allah send down torrential punishment on you. وبشر جنتا. And the prophet came as well to what? بشر جنتا. He gave us the glad tidings of Jannah. وعلمنا الإسلام. And he taught us the deen of submission to Allah. The deen of being peaceful with Allah, with the prophet, and with other mankind. So Allah be not noted, and by Allah we are listening to Allah the Big. This lecturer has said it all. This is very, very conscious and conscious of, I mean, going against the prophetic command. The matter I just quoted is so to know chapter 24, verse 53. Just said, toward the last, I think the second or the first to the end of the school of chapter 24. So it means not moving in his last will. He did the church or the church. Simple. Now, Allah sent us to tell us, Allah said, when you read the Hadith of Buddha, anybody, if you do something that was going and you speak to that, in truth, sincerely that I want to know about this thing, is it true? In the Hadith of Buddha, you speak guidance. Allah is God, I allow you to increase such in guidance for ourselves in the world, and definitely I will grant you taqwa. Inshallah, we go to questions and answers. Inshallah. Let's put our hands for a question. The letter is around to do our before I think that the Amir is sent the message now, and he thinks he is so serious. And the message goes to God, all the hot man and the faculty for Jesus. In essence, he is members. The Amir wants to meet you tonight after the program. You have the key after the program, allow your members of your Ummah to go home. And you wait behind for something very important and significant. I'm very ready for God. Questions? Number one. One. Two. Three. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. You have been, please, come forward. Very well, please. Before the questions have been asked, if our last thing, we need your assistance as you have been doing. We want you to do more. Let's contribute to the cause of Allah. Let's contribute to the cause of Allah. Those who are in the name of God. Let's go around me. You know yourself now, from your room. So let's go around.
My question is, what is the difference before the heart in some community Islamic countries concerning the issue of having the people who are the best of the religion to I do now after the week because I saw the king in the kingdom.
I don't understand. You said in some of the
system that have the other one.
Yes.
That the song automatically becomes the king after the government.
Yes.
What is the difference between that can be kind of shipping? I can't imagine in that law. Number two is what we need to be good thing. Because of time.
The issue of management in the television itself should, the person that I'm going to study should be condemned outside and not benefit from anything that comes out of him.
Should be.
He should be just condemned outside him.
Same or lose?
Not benefit from anything that comes out of him.
Same or lose?
Number
The idea of saying that the law was held for a month was then.
Number 5. Please, let's come forward. Are you number 8? As you are assuming, please come forward.
I want to ask the lecturer to explain this. I want you to see
The man said, oh God, when is that?
father of the Mahatma Gandhi, he was actually fighting for the untouchable, that is the one with the lowest leader. Many of them used to live outside the town. They can't live within the town because of what they say. If you belong to that category, for example, if you are the Muslim, you cannot even acquire property by the law. You understand? It's
forbidden. You understand? You are just like that. By living, you are limited to your family. You understand that one?
That was what is happening in some Muslim countries. You don't call them Islamic countries. Places like Jordan. Okay? You know, they have the king there. Kuwait. United Arab Emirates. All the Arabia are kingdoms. Even Saudi Arabia is Mamulaka kingdom. They have the king there. There is a wide difference between what is happening there and that of the Yoruba land. And what is happening in Sheikh. But it's still an extension to some extent. What is happening here? Truly, you cannot become a king if you are not from the lineage, okay? But the only difference, like that of Saudi, is that the Tawhid is there. You cannot go there and be frustrated for the king. In fact, you can still be the king. If you have people who have studied there in the kingdom before, you see people sitting down in the king, speaking together. Even if I've not been there, I've seen the king sitting on the bear claw, eating food with the people who are listening and all that thing. But that is why what they are still practicing is not Islamic, totally practicing. What Islam preaches, or what Islam, the system of Islam is caliphism, a caliph imagine. But according to the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, irrespective of whatever means by which you get to the power, once you are in power, it becomes incumbent on the people in the state to follow you. In fact, if you do not follow the leader, irrespective of the means by which you get there, you are a rebel. If he kills you, the Ahlus Sunnah will not defend you because you are a rebel. Why? Because your act is causing commotion. You are causing problems. What you think you want to correct will lead to more trouble. It's not going to make it easier. It's a problem in society. It's not going to solve the problem, rather, it's going to compound you. Do you understand? What they say you should do is to admonish that king or that leader, whether he got there by coup or by kingdom or whatever, to practice the Sharia of Islam. And once he can practice it, then he has actually achieved what Islam wants you to achieve on earth. The means by which he gets there will be an answer, will be a query he's going to answer with his Lord, not you. What we need is for him to establish the Sharia. You understand the point now? Then, if you want to remove him, it is permissible for you to remove him, provided that you have the means and wherewithal to remove him, and provided that you are going to do better or at worst to do the same with him when you get there. You understand? That is why you find out that in the kingdom, sometimes when some people rebel, they will still kill them. People will say, why are the scholars not ruling against the king punishing such people? The scholars will look at those people as rebels, ordinary people that want to cause problems for the commoners, because there is orderliness in the society. Your rebellion against the king, if the king becomes angry, the society will suffer for it. So rather than allowing you to cause disorder in society, it's better to eliminate you. When you meet your Lord, then you are going to tell your Lord that you are trying to introduce this law. Then Allah will know how it's going to judge your case. But we won't allow ordinary you to destroy the society because of your personal interest. You understand what I'm saying? Then you are free to become a scholar of peace. That is just that. Should we condemn Maulid Nabi outrightly, or can't we benefit from things in it? I would just like to listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about intoxicants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in intoxicants there are benefits, and in this we have disadvantages. Wa ismuhum akbar min al-ma'in. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the evil inherent in intoxicants is much more than the good you think you are going to achieve there. Therefore, trying to say you want to gain some benefit from Mawlidnabi, the evil in Mawlid will cause will be more than what you think is the benefit. Because Mawlidnabi said the issue started from his happiness in Egypt. It was the king, among the Fatimid kings, that started it in Egypt by calling people to come and celebrate the birth of the Messenger of Allah, offering food, killing so many cows to entertain people, which was unprecedented in the history of Islam. It was just trying to copy the Christians who were celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And you know, according to what I said during the beginning of the lecture, Christians have not spoken. They can celebrate whatever. If the Catholic was all their leaders, they say they are enslaving them, they become saints. Then this, then that. And you can now speak Allah according to them, their own God, their Rahman, through these things. You can sense the saints. You understand what I'm saying now? And it's just a human being, a Pope, that will declare that personality as the saint. You see? So they are not focused totally. The time is coming, even the Muslims are there now. For example, we have employed the Shuyukh, the Sheikh. No matter what the Sheikh tells you, you must do it. And if you don't, if you are trying to quote even from the Kitab and Sunnah, in order to contradict what the Sheikh has said, you will be told that that thing will retard your spiritual growth. The first lesson you are going to take from the Sheikh, if you want to belong to Sufi or that, is to drop the reading of the Quran and Sunnah. And that is why it is called Tariqa. Tariqa means a path. If you are a Janiyah, for example, you are going to have the intention that I want to come close to you, O Allah, by following the path laid by Sheikh Jani. If you are in Qadiriyah, for example, you will mention that in accordance with the path laid down by Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. In fact, so you have to follow a path laid down by a Sheikh, and that is easy here. So each sheikh has his own path by which you can now get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are they not becoming like Catholics? So those sheikhs have become saints. That is sinless. They have no sin. Therefore, whatever they say or do is correct. Even if it's seemingly to you, you will use that word, contradict the word of Allah. And if you read it, you will say it will not allow you to grow spiritually. So therefore you have a mentally enslaved and intellectually subjugated. That's just the principle. So you may tell them that they're right. So saying Karamallahu wa ja'ahu for Ali is a big bid'ah. According to the scholar of Hadith, he said radiyallahu anhu is what is known for all the companions, and there is no reason why we should separate Ali and say Karamallahu wa ja'ahu. There is a local legend here that people used to say. Why they say Karamallahu wa ja'ahu is that the burial ground, I mean the grave of Ali is not known, it's wrong. It's buried in Najaf. His grave is known. Okay, but our local Malams here used to say that his grave is not known. It was the grave is known. Okay, he was killed. So his grave is known. So it is part of trying to sensitize Ali by the Shia. That made them carve out those things for him, make him an Ali, this Ali, this that. Although in history, there was a point in time when Ali and his Shia, his people, were being, victimized in the Islamic Empire then, prior to the coming of Umar ibn Abdulaziz. It was when Umar ibn Abdulaziz now became the Khalid that he restored their full rights to them and abusing them from the pulpit spot because of some political problems. But this you cannot understand unless you can clearly differentiate authentic and correct history from false one. And I am trying to warn those of you who are students of Arabic and Islamic studies on this campus and whatever campus in Southwest, that you are prone to being given the wrong history, Islamically, because you are going to learn from Kufar, people like Montgomery Ward, Ato Adrian, these are your teachers, and Orientalists. It is their books that you read your Islamic history from, not from the authentic Islamic history. When you read their thesis, you find them quoting more of Orientalists than more of Islamic scholars. In fact, some of them will not be able to quote any Islamic scholar. So, and the Orientalists have mocked up this history in order to make you hate your religion, that these companions are full of war, hatred, disease, and political marginalization. So it is only there is four people. There are some four people who are compared to Hadia, that try to authenticate all those things. Some of the religious narrations were authentic, but there are some other half-truths. For example, Aisha radiallahu anha going to war is true. But what we were told in Islamic history is that she has run in order to fight Ali, because since the day of court, that is, when she was accused falsely of adultery, that Ali told the messenger of Allah to their false, it is true. So she wanted to avenge, which is wrong. The authentic narration says, Aisha was going there in order to act as her daughter, saying that if her personality is still on the battlefield, Muawiyah and Ali will stop fighting because she is mother of the faithful. Because they know this is their mother. But the Munafiqun realizes those who are in Ali camp, those who keep Usman. They know because Ali has promised that when they get settled, he's going to arrest the killer and bring them to justice. They now know that if this woman gets there and settle this thing, he will be in problem. So they started killing people in the other camps. So there was commotion. And that is how she was unable to solve it. But this one will not see, will not tell you. Okay? And will not authenticate this tradition. It will just be telling the history. And many other ones. Like let's see that. So how do we bring what I'm trying to say in essence is what the scholars of Hadith are saying for everybody. Allah Alam. How do we greet our parents? Okay, inshallah. How do we greet our parents when we should not prostrate? Well, your parents is a Yoruba man. Having today you are not from a tribe that reckon with prostration, you wouldn't have asked the question. There are some tribes they don't count it. When I went for studies in the East, they are always babbling when we prostrate. Because they don't do it. So you are looking at us. That's Yoruba. Yoruba, okay. So such people with parents never see that not being respected, if it is not prostrate. So it is a cultural heritage that we have to prostrate for our parents. So you have to, it will take a lot of taqwa and a lot of explanation. Even when you give the explanation to your parents, I'm telling you, they will not take it. The most subtle of them will allow you, but inwardly is not going to be happy. Except few ones among them. So what I can advise you is that you have to tell this gently and then consult brothers around you, particularly your Amir and some elder brothers. They can give their own experience and maybe you will need to ask of the problem. Like one brother that went and came back. I was told that he should not proceed. As he was coming from the house, he went on the big house in performance. As he was just coming back, he just went and prostrated for his father, Ekule. And the younger was prostrated for him. He said, no, don't prostrate for me, it's haram. And he prostrated for his father. So his father said, you did not allow your younger one to prostrate for you, saying it's haram, because you are prostrating for me. So you won't allow the police to don't prostrate for me. So just use that as a treatment. It may not work in your own case. why are we Muslims slaves and not sons? When you are a slave, it means you are you are subjected to the directives of your master. You do nothing outside the boundaries of your master. So you are bounded to your master even. So we are slaves of God in the sense that we do only that what Allah commands us. We don't do anything except what He commands us. And that is crazy. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't have any right except the one given to you by Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we are apt. We are not ignorant, we are not sons. Okay? The Christians themselves know, but they are only cajoling people. So in the normal usra class, we will be quoting some comparisons for you. When it is said that the one whom you have you owe allegiance to, you become the slave of such a person and the person becomes your master. So we are bondmen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result of that, we are slaves unto Allah. That's just a simple meaning. Okay? That means His commandments only we follow. We follow no other commandments. You find out that sometimes we desire something, but because Allah said He doesn't want it, you will not do such a thing. You will do that of Allah. Despite that, I will desire what Allah did not want, but we still continue to do that of Allah. So when your alwala and bara get to an extent, you will now love what Allah loves and hate what Allah hates. Now, why are we, is it permissible to eat the food of Moriji? In fact, in this book, he was telling us some rewards we have to eat the food of Moriji. In fact, I don't know. Ordinarily, the food, even the food of the food, any food, one other than Allah has not been mentioned on the food is permissible for the Muslim to eat. But if the body is the food of Moriji, it is the food of Moriji. In order to tell them that it is not permissible. But ordinarily, they are in the room. Maybe after the celebration, the remnant, the man has furnished his own daily food. So you are just eating ordinary food. So there is nothing that is impermissible about that one. Okay, because the status of the food has changed. You understand? So you can eat it. It's just like the messenger of Allah said, you should not eat from the people's plate. And goat plate. What you do is, when the food is buying people's plate, just remove it and put it inside another plate. And so if the food is not haram, what makes it haram is the container. So you change the container. So once the purpose of that food has changed, then you can eat it. But when the status is in, then you cannot eat it. Allah knows that. That is true of Kawaii. What Muslims do not believe in that? People do not believe in the pillar of Islam as a result of ignorance. Can be categorized into two. Some people decided to become ignorant. They don't want to know. They shall be punished for deciding to become ignorant. While some people do not decide to become ignorant, but they are struggling to the extent of their ultimate in order to believe it. So they are acting with the knowledge that is available to them. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, shall judge in accordance with the knowledge that is available to them. Number, an issue of qadar. In our society today, our scholars are not explaining the issue of qadar because they themselves, except the pure scholar of Hadith, that they don't understand the issue of qadar. They say in Yoruba language, Afishewa, Afofawa, all these things, qadar is a concept. You can't give it a definition. You must explain it. You understand? It's a concept. It's just like those of us who know about chemistry. When you are trying to give the electronic configuration, the SPDF, can you just say it in the word? You know, it's an unbound principle. Poly exclusion, a principle. What do you call the other one do you have? You know, these things, you combine all of them together in order to be able to give the electronic configuration. So can you now give the definition and then you'll be able to do it? No. You understand? That's how color is. There are many concepts here that have to be joined together. Then you will be able to explain it. In another direction. Models, if we allow the original be encouraging some of our youth to remain Muslims, it is not the main story. In the early 80s, the MSS was in records. When Bola Ige, 1973, when Bola Ige, the then governor of Oyo State, banned MSS in secondary school as a result of the activity. So we won the record then. I want to say one in Panati, so one like a Takiti, Ribawa and Jasmine, and so on and so forth. They allow you to call you and so on and so forth. Then many youth organizations and then. Nine Brothers, Mini Boy, Yoga and Zaina, many of them. And during Layer Festival at NCA, there used to be a competition, maybe some Islamic song competition, and Are used to give cash rewards for the best singer or the best youth organization. I was not told that I used to watch it. Okay? In fact, we like to go there because we have considered that young girls will come and sing there. Like in Member of the, those of us that were. You can remember the early, that lady that used to sing for Nine Brothers. People used to go because they want to hear her sing, okay, because of the voice, not because of Islam. So we were there, many people were there then. So there's the problem that will come in this. That if you are doing a thing, you want to be best. The Christians are also singing. You think we Muslims can match the Christians? In thinking. Because when we think to an extent, our Sharia will be cutting our finger. We'll be stopping us. You know how to go beyond some boundaries. But Christianity, the blood of Jesus, and cover everything. Can you do it? So a Muslim who loves thinking and wants to restrict him from going further in thinking, will still eventually go to Christianity. We are going to think with our boundaries. You understand? Just like what happened to some of our brothers when we were telling them that the Christian are in, that this being attacked in group is bigger, it's not Sunnah. But because they just want to get many people to the fold of Sunnah, they want to get the market to them. So they said, okay, they want to do the degree in Spanish, so they made the authentic degree, Adwana, all these things. But when that part came now, what happened to them? All those women who were doing practical degrees, they were left them for that part that did not limit them. Do you understand? So at the end of the day, they were unable to achieve their goals. And eventually, they have proved that that thing is not bigger. So it's not difficult for them to not be moving bigger again. Do you understand? So they are not imagined. The natural thing they are doing today, you know, the practical returning back to that 80s and practical weed, you know. If another group emerges now that allows people to go beyond the level of natural, people from natural will still migrate to that group. Do you understand? That is why it is better to preach the Sunnah. The message of Allah started with so many companions in the house of Harkom and Harkom. He was not so enthusiastic to accept the suggestions of the Mushrikun in Mecca just because he was asking that people should accept Islam. Rather, he maintained the standard of Islam. And at the end of the day, he triumphed. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Asr, وَتَوَصَّوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَصَّوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. You call people to the truth and you become what you are going to be. I'm calling you for the time, you know. I don't know. I'm calling you. But sometimes you have to sacrifice, okay? I don't think I was allowed to eat or wish before the last.
You know, let me tell you one thing. These are opportunities. These are opportunities. When I was in the university, there are some times we go for things like this. Even tests. So I'm not saying you should do so because I condemn we might make some. But one thing that used to baffle me is that when we are not there, we will not just do the test. I just discovered that then. I did not discover it until I was about graduating that. So tell that we used to make the whole thing. When you have faith, you understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist you. But that does not mean you should not put effort. What I'm saying really is that sometimes you have to sacrifice. Okay. I know this intellectual society or academic faculty, the university. You want to study, you want to have your first class. If you have your first class, you pray that Allah puts you Baraka. Just like Allah puts Baraka in the Jamaican university, you know, first class, you pass your first class, you can stand. Many first class law, they are not fan of you. So the Baraka is more important than what you want to achieve. I'm not saying you need many first class to do so. If you in this university, I don't know how many Jews are Muslims. How many beings are Muslims? So how many Muslims are defending? So you feel that we still have a long way to go. But that does not mean we shouldn't practice our religion. They started before us now. They started before us. They have deprived us the opportunity of education long ago. We are just trying to catch up. And they are still there. So with time we are still going to catch up. Inshallah, but not at the expense of our religion. Because when you get to the place, you might not want to be the best, not to learn that you can. You understand? So you don't like that guy that is around. So in those things, that is true, but like it belongs to you. But sometimes, the one does not say it in the presence of some students who are just grabbing students because you know more. And Allah will not have to have a blessing. I'll give you the great. Allah will have me about my religion, and as a result of that, we will be complicated and we will be given advice to withdraw. So sometimes you don't say such things in public like this, so that people like that will not get misled. But I think all of us are mature. We should be able to balance the equation, even if we do not study chemistry. So, the youth, what we need to give the youth is the knowledge. Once you have the knowledge, you can never delay. But when you don't have the knowledge, like Ali have said, you become Yemeluna Ma'akulile. You become a flag, like Nigerian national flag, that will go in the direction of the wind. Okay? He said we have three categories of people. Ali Ibn Rabbani, that scholar, higher scholar of Islam. Paul Ibn al-Fadim in Mecca, a student of knowledge on the path of sources. Then he said the third one, those people, the Rabbus, or what you call them, Samju. He said, Yamiluna ma'akul bilish, that we only do in the direction of the wind. If you come for this lecture, you say, Mawlid is not good, won't be. When he goes to another place, he says, Mawlai al-Fadim, wa-Fadim, 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 When you come back to the world, the baby is not. So don't be like that, okay? So what I'm trying to say in essence is what the youth needs is the knowledge. Once you have the knowledge of your life, the understanding comes, and you have the full grasp of your religion, and nobody can mislead you again. You understand? You know the reason why you are not singing. I mean, you know the reason why you are not dancing. But if you don't know the reason, it continues to, you know, you continue to think that why are we not allowing it in order to bring other people in? You don't have this, you don't have video thing, and I don't know. Okay? So, you don't have to allow you to do that. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Any
of a bad day is an extension of Maulid Nabi. Maulid Nabi, they are even celebrating the death of the Messenger of Allah. Because 12 Rabiul Awwal, according to authentic narration of Sahih Bukhari, is the day the Messenger died. 12 of Rabiul Awwal is the day of the death of the Messenger of Allah, Monday, 12 Rabiul Awwal. That is the authentic narration. The day of his birth is not recorded authentically. What is authentic about the birth day of the Messenger of Allah? What is authentic about the birth of the Messenger of Allah is the day, not the date. The day is Monday, but the date is not known. But the day and date of his death was recorded authentically, which is 12 Rabiul Awwal and still on Monday. You understand? So if you are saying you are celebrating the birth of the Messenger of Allah, you are not, there is no authentic relation that is based on the 12. But authentic relation says he died on that day. And you cannot use qiyas or analogical deduction by saying he must have been born on 12. Okay? That is the qiyas ma'al-farid. It will not be accepted. Okay? So, and is it permissible to celebrate the death of the Messenger of Allah? So, then past day, we don't, even in history, people that celebrate that day were always tyrant rulers. You know in the Bible, that king, when he was in Herod, that was celebrating his that day, and asked the dancer, is that female, to ask for whatever she likes, so that the king will give. So the Herodian now called that as she demands for the head of John the Baptist. And it was given to him. And that's Yahya. So tyrants have always been celebrating their birthday. But as a Muslim, what do you want to celebrate in your birthday? You are now 21 years old. Celebration means you have gained the certificate of paradise. Are you saying in the last 21 years your ibadah is more, or your good deed is more than your evil deed? The day of birth, your birthday is the day of sober reflection. You should have reflected that if I had died today, what would be my faith in the Christ of Allah? Then, my being 21 means I am closer to the grave by minus 21 years. If you will spend 121 years, it has remained only 100 years. So any number of years we spend on earth minus 21, that's just the meaning. So you are happy. That is supposed to be a day of reflection, but Shaitan has made people to celebrate it now. And you see the dead now, the kuffar have brought another thing, and I know Muslims will soon copy. Just like I used to read in the obituary in newspaper that Masu Milkan Al Aya Allah. I see reading people sleep in the heart of yes now of Allah. Muslims used to do it in paper. On radio too, when they are making the announcement. I can be good and well, I can even so new can I ya Allah. Just like the Christians who are saying, if all you don't understand, you will ask the person they have to translate it for you. You understand? So they say sleep on in the chest or heart of Allah. Just like the Christian on the breast of Allah, just like Christians used to say. You understand? So sooner or later some people, you know, they now used to put celebration of life. No more of this one. That's what the Kufara now putting on the announcement of death. We now see Muslims with copy. In the day when there is a celebration of life. What is this celebration in the life? A life that was lived on Kufu. Is it what you are being celebrated? A life of shirk. What are you celebrating here? A life without Salah. And Muslims will still go there and say they are celebrating life again. A life devoid of Salah. So, what do you want to celebrate there? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that on the day they ask them to prostrate, they will not be able to prostrate. They have been commanded to prostrate when you are on earth. Man tabaka kum sistakon, kalu lam naku min al-musallin. What has made you to enter the hell of Sakon? They say we were not among those who observed Salat when we are on earth. Then what life did you celebrate? So we Muslims, we should be very, very careful. So no celebration about the Christian ideology and Kufu ideology. And finally, how can we get know the authentic hadith? If you can read, no, you don't need to go to Lincoln. A hadith that are in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. then you can be assured that these are authentic Ahadith. But some people used to fuck, they used to say, related by Bukhari and it's not their filio. And that is why you see now the school, the books of Ahadith, when we write our own book, we used to quote Hadith number. We give footnotes, Hadith number, so that we can go and check it. It will say English translation or the Arabic version, so that you can go and check it. So don't be contented with books you read related by Bukhari. What are these numbers? So that you can check it in your life whether the Hadith corresponds or not. Okay, some people are just maybe it's a mouth thing. Maybe he has somebody saying from Bukhari, he also reads from Bukhari. Okay? So we are in era of authentication now. You authenticate your nafs, your text, not just in it. So no mercy Allah guide us correct. Then aside that, then you will have to read the commentary of the scholars of Hadith. Those who are qualified to grade Hadith, what do they say about a Hadith? Those that are not in Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Dawud, what did Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani say about this Hadith? Did he say it's for him? And in present era, what did Sheikh Albani say? What did Hamad Shafi say about this Hadith? So then you can now say this Hadith is for him. You understand what I'm trying to do now? So now I can understand. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Yeah. Okay.